welcome to Hot Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we are back, and though what it may appear to be a week for you is actually just mere hours for us.
Yes.
And that is because, A, it's the holiday, so we're recording a wee little bit early, so if like, any major breaking news happens...
Right, over between the 19th and when this goes live.
And this goes live on Monday. Monday, though, we'll put it in post.
yeah,
wait, post. We don't have post! Oh. But yes.
You should know this.
Between when it goes live, yes, I should. I should know a lot of things I don't know, as mm-hmm. we've established today.
Yeah.
But anyways, yes, we are recording early, A, due to travel, but B... due to the fact that Crystal is losing her wisdom.
Yes.
Teeth.
Yes, exactly. So I'm not going to be able to talk for a little bit, you know.
No, we expect her to be perfectly hunky-dory and just fine, and maybe having a great horrific tale to share with us whenever she comes back in a week or so. But we do want to get this one in the can so she can recover appropriately without having to flap her gums for an hour straight.
Exactly.
But on that note, if you want to stay up to date on Crystal's progress and how she's doing, whether she's dead or alive...
I'm not putting all of that on there.
You know, all the gory details of this... Okay, well, maybe not all that. But if you want to stay up to date on us, at the very least, definitely do take a moment. Follow us at Haunt Weekly on Twitter, at Haunt Weekly on Facebook. We're also at HauntWeekly.com and tinyurl.com/HauntWeekly takes you to our YouTube channel, where you can stay up to date with us there.
Yes. Now,
first thing is first, this is episode 108. I ran it through MathBot.
Yeah.
MathBot says it is divisible by 4.
MathBot is wrong, isn't it?
No.
Okay.
Oh. Man, your MathBot sucks compared to my MathBot.
MathBot does suck.
108 is divisible by 4. For the record, it's 27 for anyone playing along at home. So that means it's time for us to do the news. And yes, we are doing the news indeed. We will get back to it in a minute, but first, a couple of reminders. A reminder before we get to the conference reminders. First off, just to reiterate, I will be speaking twice at HauntCon coming up January 12th through the 14th. I will be speaking Friday, January 12th, from 3:30 to 4:30 on how to make a website that sells your haunt. As I will tell you the questions you need to answer in order to sell damn tickets to your haunt.
Yeah. This isn't a design.
No, the hell? Screw design. I don't care how you design the page.
Yes, you do, because we've talked about how bad right. design is.
Not in...
That's not what this is about.
Not in this talk. For that, like, hour, I do not care about your design.
Yes.
In fact, I will tell
just
you...
Just to make that clear.
Sometimes bad design can actually help sell you tickets in a little bit. But anyways, and then on Sunday the 14th, I will be talking from 9 until 10, copyright and trademark for Haunters. My day job mixing with my passion. It's a beautiful thing. And I promise you my talks will be informative, entertaining, and full of life lessons that you can take with you and use to... Okay, that last part may not be true.
Yeah.
I may have gone too far. Mm-hmm. All right. But anyways, so yes, those are my talks. Now we do the conference reminders real fast. And on that note, I'll kick it off this week because I know you did it last time, so we just did it.
And the one before.
Oh, whoops, sorry about that.
That's okay.
Well, it feels weird doing the HauntCon one now.
Yeah, I know.
But anyways, yes, the first reminder is indeed HauntCon / Halloween and Party Expo in New Orleans, Louisiana, January 12th through the 15th at the Ernest N. Morial Convention Center. They'll be touring Rise Haunted House, both lights on and lights off tours, the Museum of Death, Demented Design Factory, Escape Rooms at the Mortuary, plus, as we noted previously, they're also touring whatever is remaining of the mortuary, which should be interesting. And there will also be a Bourbon Street pub crawl to get you a drink on at. And yes, it will be featuring us quite prominently. We will be there in our Haunt Weekly polos, handing out cards, giving high fives, doing whatever else is asked of us.
Yeah.
But you can learn more at HauntCon.com.
All right. Next, March 1st through the 3rd, we have the Maze Chicago Corn Party.
Yeah, that doesn't roll off the tongue worth a damn, does it?
Doesn't. It's going to be in Chicago, Illinois, Chicago Marriott Southwest, at Burr Ridge, Tours Culper's Family Farm, Yonamack Orchard, and Gobert's and more. TheMaze.com for more on that.
All right, after that, the Big Daddy, it's Trans World Halloween and Attraction Show in St. Louis, Missouri, March 22nd to 25th at the America's Center. Pre-convention bus tour, we'll be visiting Nashville Nightmare in Talon Falls. There will be a voodoo soiree on Saturday night. A voodoo soiree, that's a lot of O's in that title. Saturday night, learn more at the Ha Show, that's HAASHOW.com.
Okay, in April 13th through the 15th, we have West Coast Haunters Convention in Portland, Oregon at the Doubletree Hotel Portland. Includes Nightmare after the WCHC Film Festival featuring a surprise selection of movies.
They've told us, we have been told, to keep the selection. They have not told us a damn thing.
No, you're just lying to the people. But as more information becomes available, you can find it at hauntersconvention.com.
All right, we're going to do this. Halloween Show and National Haunters Convention presents Halloween Boardwalk Empire in Atlantic City, New Jersey, May 18th through the 20th at the Showboat Convention Center. Hey, not bad. It'll feature zombie volleyball, a hearse show, a costume ball, and much more. Learn all the details at halloweenshow.com.
Okay, May 25th through the 27th, Midwest Haunters Convention in Columbus, Ohio. Greater Columbus Convention Center, featuring a masquerade party, a zombie walk, and pre-convention bus tour with haunts to be announced. Whenever they are announced, you can find out about them at MidwestHauntersConvention.com.
All right, that all sounds absolutely swimmingly, and we'll be extending and expanding the convention reminders shortly.
Yes.
All right. So, yes, it is time to do the news. Now, I got to say, if you happen to go to the Google and punch in haunted house news or haunted attraction news, what you're going to get is a big loaded, flaming shot of news about haunts opening for Christmas this year.
Right.
And so we're not going to cover, all of them, or actually any of them, really.
No.
And the reason is because there are so damn many. It'd be impossible to pay. And many, many of the big ones are doing it for the first time, I found out, which I found very interesting. Mm-hmm. So, guys, I want to say kudos to all of you. I'm not sure whether it's a case of, more haunts are now opening for Christmas, or if it's a case of more haunts are finally actually marketing the fact they're open for Christmas.
Yeah.
But either way, good job on getting the media attention. Very positive media attention, too. All the articles I looked at were very upbeat and happy about it. They were great PR work. So kudos to you guys for getting the word out there and expanding to another season, even if it's not a full season, because usually these haunts have very, very limited dates in winter.
Yeah.
But still, very cool. Like I said, we did not have this issue quite to this extent last year.
No.
We really had to dig for the news we were going to report on.
Yeah, it seems with the growth and popularity of Krampus across the nation, so comes the growth of these horror themes.
Yeah, I guess that is the Christmas. Next step. For the for a haunts opening at Christmas, do something other than Krampus.
Yeah.
Plenty of haunts have the Krampus thing down.
Yeah.
They're doing the Krampus thing. They're doing it a pretty big. If you're looking at doing it next year, come up with something a little different. Like one of my favorite things that I've seen was the video game we played, the Santa's Massacre. It was the cleanup game, like Viscera cleanup detail, where you have to clean up after the Santa's Massacre. You could do something like that.
Well, you could do something like, the Santa and Drunk William Shatner film.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And I'm not giving away the ending. But
no, yes. That is,
but there is a Santa
Christmas horror story.
Yes, a Christmas horror story.
Yeah, that is a great Christmas horror film, by the way, if you are itching for that.
Yeah, we've mentioned that a couple times.
Yeah, I know, it's an anthology. Well worth it, not spoiling the ending. But yeah, definitely check that one out if you want some creative ideas on what you can do that's not necessarily Krampus.
Right.
If you want to avoid that. Some great fodder is in there.
Inspiration.
Yes. Inspiring. All right. But we have news, and our first story is significantly less than inspiring.
Well, it should inspire some to change their technique.
Oh, God. But anyways, this is an article by Charlie Moore at the Daily Mail. And I'll just read the headline, because frankly the headline says everything I want to say about it. Chainsaw-wielding clown rips open teenager's face at funfair when House of Horrors prank goes wrong.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't immediately have a lot of very good questions,
yeah,
what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. I actually first saw this story over in Haunter's Hangout and sought it out to add it in.
Yeah.
Because there was some good discussion about it. Yeah. And about how to make chainsaws safe.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's kind of important.
Yeah, if we're going to use chainsaws and haunts, rule one is going to be safety.
Yes, and with how many there are that use chainsaws, we should really have this down as an industry.
And here's the thing, that actor being this reckless is lucky it wasn't him in a way.
Yeah.
Because, think about it, who's most likely to get cut by a chainsaw in a haunted house? The guest? Yeah, okay, sure, it's possible. But who's really closest to the chainsaw the most?
And holds it the most, yeah.
It's good. I mean, it's very likely going to be. And I've always said, I've been around gimmick chainsaws so much,
right,
I can't be trusted around real ones.
Well, and the thing is that I don't know if they're gimmicks or if they're just like this one where they took off the blade. And there was actually stories in that discussion about how other people had been injured with chainsaws that had just taken off the blade, because those, you know, it still gets really hot.
Yeah. We actually had, and this is true, a friend of ours got a very mild burn, admittedly, on her foot because she was wearing sandals, which, A, terrible idea in a haunt for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
We were not responsible for that footwear decision.
No. It was her first time going through one. The people that, even though we do know her, the people she was going with didn't warn her.
Yeah. And so, you know, we had nothing to do with that footwear decision. We're disavowing it.
Right.
She wore open, wore sandals that had, like, the side exposed somehow. Right. Like the little lacy things that
women's wear. Well, it was the little ones that go through the toe.
Yeah, it was weird. Like, flip-floppy type things.
Yeah.
And basically, they touched her foot with the tip of the blade, or part
of the chainsaw.
Not the actual blade of the chainsaw, obviously, but the shaft of it.
Yeah.
Touched her foot with it. I mean, I'm not up to date on my chainsaw terminology, I must admit.
Yeah, we don't use them.
We don't use them on our haunt. So, and then she got a mild burn from it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, let's get back to our story hand. It happened at a haunted attraction at the Chiapas Fair, I guess. You speak Spanish more than I do.
That's good enough.
At Tuxtla Gutierrez, Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short, a 17-year-old guest was rushed to a hospital with an inch-deep wound in the right cheek, which sounds like an exaggeration because I'm pretty sure if you cut my cheek an inch, just gone straight through.
Yeah, for the depth, yeah. Maybe he had really round cheeks.
Maybe. But anyways, an inch-deep wound on his cheek after a chainsaw-wielding clown cut. Now, this kid does not have a phobia of clowns after this.
Right. Well, and the thing is it was an inch deep, but it doesn't say how long it was. So it could be significant, or it could be less.
No, that still sounds pretty significant. Even if it's an inch deep, it's just the depth alone is significant.
It's enough for stitches.
Oh, definitely. At the least.
Yeah.
The employee involved, Ivan that is not even a Spanish name. Azizek? Is that a Spanish name?
I don't know.
That sounds like it should have the Magnificent after it.
It sounds really close to
Azrael or something, yeah.
Or Aztec.
But Azizek was arrested, the fair was shut down, and the prosecutors eventually said that the incident was accidental and let him go, but there's not much else known at this time.
Right.
And like I said, so many questions about stupid A, the unidentified 17-year-old boy. Please have a speedy recovery.
Yes.
This is... I'm truly mortified this happened in a haunted attraction.
Yeah.
And I hope that you are able to recover quickly. And
that it doesn't kill the haunted attraction business for you. Yeah. I understand if it does.
I completely understand.
Because it did for one of our friends.
Mm-hmm.
She was injured at a local haunt many, many, many years ago.
We're talking 15, 20 years ago at this point.
More than that.
Okay.
She was a teenager. She's in her 50s now.
Oh, okay.
So, but she had a board with a nail fall on her or something.
Oh, yeah, I remember. I know you're talking about
nail.
I had the wrong person in mind.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I had the person in mind that got hurt at Chinchubas way back, and we knew her.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, this is... We're talking the same person?
Bro, Probably. But anyway, she won't even come through ours with the lights on and no actors because of that.
Yeah. And you know what? I can't fault her either because that's some scary stuff and not the good kind of scary.
And the other thing is about this is that how was the customer able to get that close to the chainsaw?
Yeah, this is the thing. This is like all the questions like in sequence here. One, why was the chainsaw not gimmicked so that it was completely safe?
Right.
Number two, why was the chainsaw close enough to the customer that it could actually hurt them?
Right.
Question three, why was it near his goddamn face?
Yes. I mean, did the kid go up and the guy was turned around and like tap him on the shoulder? Hey, mister. I mean, no, there's lots of questions here that won't be answered.
No.
Because I doubt there'll be a follow-up to this.
I doubt so. The nature of this type of story is that, especially since the prosecutors have already dropped it, there really isn't much follow-up to be had as far as the news media is concerned.
Right.
We obviously, as an industry, have some significant questions here.
Yeah.
And this has to break every rule of chainsaw safety, I know.
Yeah.
And I don't even use chainsaws in my haunt. No. And I know more about chainsaw safety than this guy.
Well, yeah.
I mean, this is just amazingly bad. So, I don't know. This is a super frustrating story. And to be honest, it's about as frustrating as the next story.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So, yeah, we'll jump into that one. And this one comes from the good old U.S. of A. Mm-hmm. And involves once again, how about that? I just read the headline again? This is an article by Channel 3 in Madison, Wisconsin. Haunted house clown faces charges in groping incident.
Yep.
Once again, questions. Yes. And we don't have a whole hell of a lot in the way of answers. I'm just going to be honest.
No.
Basically, the clown involved was Brandon L. Gorel.
He goes by Shakes.
Goes by Shakes the Clown. He was charged in two counts of sexual assault. By the way, this is one I definitely suggest you click the link in the show notes.
Right.
Available on iTunes and on hotweekly.com. Click the link on this one because dude's scary.
Yeah.
I don't say that about every mugshot I see. Dude is genuinely disconcerting in the look at.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing that out. Anyways, he was at the Milton Campgrounds of America haunted house. Here's where the story. Basically, what happens is he was approached by two women, and he squeezed each one of them on the breast.
Yeah.
Now, Gorel says he only does so when asked, usually for pictures. The women, of course, dispute that, say they did not ask to be groped. The campground staff said workers are not allowed to touch customers, period. And he's being charged with two counts of sexual assault in the incident, and the charges are considered misdemeanors.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah, even if people ask for it, you shouldn't be, you know, complicit in that.
So. No. Yeah. I mean, okay. People ask Bernie. I'm front of house.
Right.
And I'm assuming from the way they describe this, Shakes is too.
Yeah,
it sounds
probably,
like he's front of house of some stripe. So I'm going to assume he's like me, he's front of house. I get asked for photo ops multiple times a night.
Yeah.
Par for the course, people want a photo with Bernie, and they're like, hey, get in and get in the shot. So what I do is I do my gangsta pose where I fold the arms in and I hover in and lean over them and like lean at them.
Yeah.
I'm not touching them. I don't even put my hands on their shoulders. I never really make contact other than maybe them backing into me.
Yeah, because you're just touching yourself.
Yeah, my hands are literally to myself.
In a completely appropriate way to being in that situation.
With those gloves, I would not want to touch myself. Them gloves are nasty. Oh, God. Those gloves after a season, oh, my God.
That's why we have to buy you new gloves every year.
I can't imagine putting that on. Oh, no. Sweet baby Jesus, no. Oh, God, I might have found my limit.
Maybe two podcasts back to back's a little too much.
Maybe, but yeah, but I have, like, white princess gloves.
Yeah.
Right? Because I have to have things that cut. Yeah, they're princess gloves. Shut up.
I wasn't going to go into that.
Because they have to go way up to the elbows, so that way they don't show any skin when I have my coat on. My ringmaster coat on. So I get the pretty, pretty princess gloves. And since I have tiny hands, I can actually wear women's sizes. It's convenient.
Yes.
But But by the end of even a couple of nights, the palms mm-hmm. are jet black.
Yeah.
With just the grime and the dirt and the dust and the sweat and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be toxic to put anywhere other than the palms of my hands.
Yeah.
But anyways, okay, where were we? Oh, we're talking about this.
We're talking about groping.
Maybe we should not do two podcasts back to back.
That's ever. What I just said.
I know. I'm agreeing with you.
Ah.
But anyways, but yeah, that's the thing here, is even if this is legitimately a thing, which I question highly,
yeah.
where women come up and ask him to grope him.
I don't question it. Because I know some of the stories that we've heard from some of our friends. You know, I mean, poor Kyle was assaulted. Not that he minded, he said, but he was.
Yeah, and he was a clown.
I don't remember what he was in that, but I know they grabbed him.
You know, it is bizarre, and maybe this should be an episode of our podcast later about the weird ways haunts get sexual sometimes.
Yeah.
It's very bizarre. We don't have that problem so much in our haunt, because we cater so much to families.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I've experienced it also in other haunts that mm-hmm. I've worked at. More so, but it's just, it's bizarre.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's a very, very weird issue, but still, even if it is a thing, you shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
You just shouldn't. I mean, I'm cool with characters when they do the photos, putting hands on shoulders or upper arms,
mm-hmm.
you know, safe zones like that. That's fine if they have the consent to lean in touch. I don't do it myself, partly because I know how disgusting those gloves are.
Yeah.
And if I'm not putting them against my skin anywhere, I'm not doing it to someone else.
Yeah. That's very considerate of you.
Isn't it? They'd come away with like a black streak on their shoulder.
Yeah. So,
but no, it's a general rule. If you are going to touch someone, you stick to some strict safe zones.
Yep.
And I got news. The breasts are not a safe zone.
No.
They're just flatly not. I just... Oh.
Or not so flatly.
Good night, everybody. Podcast over. This is it. I had the mental image of touching myself with my disgusting gloves, and then we made breast jokes. Off this podcast went right in the toilet.
Yeah.
But in Blame Shakes the Clown. Who came here in the toilet before then?
Yeah.
But yeah, I just don't understand. And now I will say this: like I said, KOA says that the staff workers are not allowed to touch customers. Period.
Yeah.
So. By touching anywhere, Shakes is already violating the rules.
Right.
So this is not something that, you know, you can really criticize their rules on, but you can definitely criticize the enforcement of the rules, because he says this type of stuff's happening all the time.
Yeah.
And did no one, like, see him do it and go, hey, maybe don't do that.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
At the very least, like the lowest bar.
Yeah.
And tell him, no, don't do that again.
Yeah, that should happen.
Yeah, anyways. All right, moving on. Next, we got an article by Christopher Brennan of the New York Daily News. And the headline simply reads, Teen Shocked as She Sees Grandpa's Real Gravestone Used at Haunted House.
Yep.
Can't make this stuff up, folks.
Nope.
There's just no way to do it. Basically, this involved a 13-year-old visitor to Dr. Lehman's mansion, right outside Nuremberg, apparently. Which, hey, it's nice to hear about haunted attractions in Germany. I don't think we've actually discussed Germany much, have we?
No.
So that part's nice.
Yeah.
The rest of it kind of is terrible.
Well, you know, and when I read that headline, I'm like, okay, so was it one of those mistake tombstones? Because, you know, you can buy those pretty cheap sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, they misspelled it, or they put the wrong date.
Or they got the spacing wrong, or something, or, yeah. Or, you know, things, because that's the thing, literally they're carving in stone.
Yeah.
So they can't just go back and correct their mistakes.
Yeah. So I mean, some of them I'm sure that you can go back and buff it out, but
yeah.
it's probably easier just to grab a new stone.
Yeah. So basically, he had died 20 years ago. His widow, who is still alive,
right,
was unable to pay for the upkeep on the gravestone, so she paid 130 euros, about $150, to someone to dispose of it. And somehow, between A and Z here, the gravestone ended up being used as a prop in the haunted house that his granddaughter ended up going to and being horrified to see it.
Yeah.
Now, prosecutors say the haunt could face a fine of $1,000 for denigrating the memory of the dead, and at least one other gravestone appears to be real. The inscriptions are being removed, though, and they're probably going to use the gravestones somewhere else. I guess if you only got them, where customers can see one side, you could always just flip it, but...
Yeah, well, it depends on what the other side looks like, too.
That's true.
Because a lot of them are front-facing.
That's true.
But the other thing that I find weird about this story is that, you know, I know that whenever we bought headstones for my grandparents, the ones who have died, we just paid for them outright. It wasn't a rental process.
Well, I know
that seems a little odd to me, just because I haven't heard of it.
Well, this is a cultural thing, I know, because we have grave sites here in New Orleans where there's paid annual upkeep.
Right. And I see that as a little bit different.
Yeah, but they may require you to remove the gravestone if you're not going to pay for the upkeep on the site.
Yeah.
They don't do that here because... The gravestone is essentially a giant freaking concrete tomb.
Right.
So you really can't.
Right.
But the point of the matter is, in other places, they may be thinking, I have a feeling this one's a cultural difference. Maybe something we can't fully identify with, especially here in New Orleans, where our death rituals are already silly weird.
Right.
Compared to the rest of the world.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, you will likely share a burial spot with your grandmother.
Yeah.
Literally, like, the exact same box.
Yeah. Or, you know, people you've never met.
Yeah. If you die the pauper's death, 1 year and 1 day is the time frame. After 1 year and 1 day, they open it up, they sweep the crap to the bag, and they put a new one in.
Yep. All the ashes are together. And that goes for family ones, too.
Yeah, it does.
It's
you know,
it's
personally, I'm just going to say, I'd rather be buried in the pauper one.
Yeah.
Because if I'm going to be partying forever, I'd rather it be with a bunch of strangers.
Yeah.
My ass is going to be partying forever somewhere. I want to be with all the strangers and all the people from New Orleans. We're going to have a good time in that ash pile.
Yeah.
I guarantee you. It's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
With my family, it wouldn't be near as
fun. Sorry, family.
Just true when you know it. I'm thinking the long game on this one. God, I hope you don't listen to this. Merry Christmas! But yeah, so this does paint some lessons about being careful about where you source your props from.
Right.
Because obviously they did not source stuff from a place and a source where it would not be inconsiderate to the family members of the recently deceased.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things where it may be completely legal to purchase that headstone.
Right.
But it doesn't mean you should.
Well, and that might be... What happened is that the guy who was paid to dispose of it...
Yeah, just ran it over
there. ...turned around and sold it. And
yeah, but you gotta admit, that's clever double dipping, man.
Yeah, and the haunt's like, oh, wow, I've got, you know...
Some real gravestones.
Some real gravestones. I'm sure nobody will be offended by this.
Yeah, no. It's not like any of their relatives are coming by the haunt.
Yeah,
just be thinking about these things. It does happen, and if you have a haunt that's big enough and busy enough, eventually,
yeah,
you know what, you run the risk of running into their family.
Yep.
It's one of the reasons why we bring up New Orleans history in our stories, but we don't actually talk about anything that actually happened.
Nope.
Because we don't want to, like, even like some of the older stuff, there are people who are descendants of that. Because this is a town where generations typically live.
Yeah, as we like to say, it's the biggest small town.
Yeah. We don't want any of their descendants coming to us pissed off that we're talking about their great-grandpappy or something. And they don't appreciate the story we're telling.
Yeah.
So we fictionalize to avoid that issue.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should do some happier haunt news. What do you say?
I think that's a good idea.
Okay, so this one, I actually like this one. It's another example of haunted attractions being used as a promotional vehicle, which is something we've been talking about a lot.
Yeah.
With various movies and so forth. Explore Dio's Mansion and Haunted House event. This is an article by Tokyo Otaku Mode News. I had to look up nearly every damn thing in this article.
Yeah, the article was not very helpful.
And the reason the article is not helpful is because the article assumes you know anime and manga.
Yes.
And we do not.
A little bit of old school.
A little bit of stuff, but yeah, I mean, come on. Let's be honest. Cowboy Bebop, DBZ. What else was there?
Ghost in the Shell.
Ghost in the Shell, you know, stuff like
that. That era.
We know that, like, the stuff that everybody knows.
Yeah.
From that era, too. But anyways, J World Tokyo, it is a theme park in town. Specifically, it's an anime-focused theme park.
Right.
It's partnering with the people behind the manga JoJo's Bizarre Adventure to create a limited-time haunted house based upon the character Dio Brando, also known as Dio, who was a key antagonist in the series. He's basically the villain vampire character, awfully badass and all sexy looking and stuff. And your typical anime vampire. Just picture that and stop. You're done.
Yeah.
You got it.
Vampire Hunter D. That's one of the other one I was thinking of.
There's another good one. Yeah, see. You just threw me off.
Sorry.
But yes, basically, the haunted house will let you tour his mansion, and it will actually feature a set of mini-games where you can win small prizes, and the prizes are mostly trinkets, little badges and buttons and stuff. But
it's still cool.
It's a neat idea. I like the idea of introducing mini-games into a haunt.
Right.
The event will be held at J World Tokyo from February 2nd through April 22nd. So if you happen to be in Japan during that time, that might be something to check out.
Yeah.
You know, I've said it before, I'm really happy, that we're seeing haunted attractions used this way.
Right.
And the reason is, here you have a haunt that's going to be open for basically the length of a haunted attraction season.
Yeah.
But in February.
Yeah.
And that's just it. This gets people thinking about haunted houses year-round.
Right. Well, and it's easier to do that in Japan, honestly. Because they have year-round haunted houses.
Yeah, and they also don't have the Halloween culture we do.
Right.
But we've also seen this type of promotional vehicle here in the United States,
we
too.
We have.
With American Horror Story did one not that long ago.
Right.
You see this all the time.
Yeah, I wish that they would do it more often.
Here.
And, well, yes, here. And spread out throughout the year, because it is usually a September-October thing.
Yeah,
even.
We've seen some, though, in, like, summer, though. So.
Yeah, it's rare still.
Yeah, but hopefully this is the type of thing we can bring to the United States, because we have lots of great stuff that need promotion. Now, one of the other reasons why it's a little mostly September, October in the U.S. is fall is also when new TV shows debut.
Yep.
So if you're going to be doing that new American Horror Story Haunted House,
right,
it's probably going to coincide with the debut of the show, which is probably going to be in September, October, or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't watch enough TV to know when the exact time frame is. I just know
it's
fall.
Anything we do watch is on DVR, so
yeah.
Or Netflix.
Or yeah, basically, we have no idea when stuff premieres. It just
no.
The TV says we have new stuff, and sometimes we watch it.
Yeah,
that's really the extent of our TV knowledge. All right, a haunted house is expanding to host concerts. I thought this was a brilliant idea when I saw this article.
Yeah.
This is an article by Lucinda Breeding at the Denton Record Chronicle. Basically, in Denton, Texas, Parker's Plantation is a haunted attraction that is expanding to provide concerts. Specifically, and this is the part I hate, the Chill in Denton Music Festival.
Yeah, that's a terrible name.
That's just god-awful, dude. I love the concept. I hate the name.
Yeah.
But basically, it was a music festival featuring a bunch of local artists, as well as a guest appearance on the big screens by Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, basically they have this land, all this space, and they're trying to find ways to produce a year-round business, and this is how they're doing it, and without necessarily just doing escape rooms.
Yeah. Yeah, can you imagine if, like, House of Shock had rented out their stage out front? To, like, local metal bands?
Oh, Jesus. Like the actual stage show stage. Oh, Jesus, that'd have been awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Dude, why didn't we suggest this, like, years ago when we're, like, up?
Yeah, I know.
Damn it!
So, if you have something like that, do this!
We're, like, 5 years too late with that one, man.
Yeah, we just read about it.
Oh, but no, it's the perfect place, because, like, they've got the big stage, they got the huge pit right in front of it, they got the guardrails already.
Yeah.
Holy crap, that'd have been great.
Yeah.
I would have gone to see a show there in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Wow. Damn it. That's brilliant. Okay, look who won the pony today, as Jim Cornette would say it. All right. But no, so still, I'm very happy with this idea, and it's also a great way to ingratiate yourself to the community.
Right.
By doing things other than being known as the freaky place where the weirdos hold satanic rituals in the basement and whatever. I don't know what local communities think we do anymore.
Yeah.
Alright. Our next article up for bid is an article by Katrina Tulloch at Syracuse.com. The Museum of Intrigue creators step outside the escape room concept is the headline. And I really love this.
Yeah.
Because if you like escape rooms, and I like escape rooms, you like escape rooms?
Yeah.
We like escape rooms. What is not to like about escape rooms is that they're over after an hour.
Yeah.
After an hour, you know, if you look, and then bang, you lose, the door's open, and they throw you out in your ass, they make you take an embarrassing photo.
Yeah.
And then they whip you with chains and stuff as you're...
I think that's in the premium package.
Oh, okay. Gotta pay extra for that.
Exactly.
Right. But basically, it's over after an hour. You have that pressure and that time constraint. Well, this museum decided to sort of take a twist on it. Instead of being locked in a room, you are given a scavenger hunt-like series of clues and have to roam the museum, the entirety of the museum, to answer these puzzles, solve the riddles, and answer, you know, and basically meet the challenges.
Yeah.
You can take as much time as you want.
Mm-hmm.
You can work with as few or as many people as you want. They said between 1 and 40, but I am not working on this crap with 40 people.
No.
Kiss my ass.
No. The worst escape room experience was with a big crowd.
Oh, God.
And everybody was doing things, and then I was like, has this been done? No, it hasn't been done. Like a second later, somebody else, we already did that.
God, it's yes. Like, why am I even here?
I know.
But yes, it was created by the people behind Escape the Estate and Frightmare Farms. Escape the Estate, obviously an escape room. And Frightmare Farms, I think, pretty obviously a haunted attraction.
Yes.
And they say the puzzles are content-wise appropriate for any age, but you can get them in a variety of difficulties. This is a great idea.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I think this should be used not just by haunted attractions, but by museums, period.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
This is a way to add an extra layer to just about any museum-type attraction.
Well, yeah. Well, it's like whenever we found the scavenger hunt at the Renaissance Fair.
Yeah.
On our way out.
As we were leaving.
I don't know if it's like this or not, because I found out about it too damn late.
It's not a thing where you, like, you go questing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I so wanted to do that.
Exactly.
But it was 4 p.m.
Yes.
The damn thing closed at 5.
Not only that, but we had to have our friend back so he could go to work.
At 5:30?
Yes.
Oh, God, what a day.
Yeah.
It was a great day otherwise, but yes, love this idea for just about any type of attraction. Yes.
And you know a few people in the museum industry. You should get in touch with them and give them this idea.
Yeah, I should. This is a great idea, especially if you dropped a little money.
Yeah.
And had there be a significant payoff on it.
Right.
Like you opened a hidden door or something.
Right.
Or, you know what I mean? It doesn't have to be like a physical take-home prize, but just like something, like a unique experience for the win. Not just filling out a sheet and be sure to drink your Ovaltine type thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can give them an experience at the end of the rainbow. It could be really cool for just about any museum.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when I read this article, I loved this idea, and I think that people should steal it everywhere they can.
Yeah.
Basically.
That sounds good. Yeah.
All right. Well, I know we said we wouldn't talk too much about Christmas haunts, but we got to tip the hat to one.
Yes.
This is an article by Sarah Zindenum? Zindenum?
Zindenum?
Zindenum? Sounds like a car trying to start.
Sorry, Sarah.
Sorry, Sarah. I'm sure you're wonderful.
We're apologizing a lot.
Yes, we are. But anyways, students at the Pleasant Grove High School, this is, near, Sacramento, I believe it is.
Yes.
The students near the Pleasant Grove High School Red Cross, club created a Nightmare Before Christmas haunted house with all the proceeds were going to help California wildfire victims.
Yeah.
This is awesome. This is the spirit of haunting as I like to see it.
Right.
This is beautiful, lovely, wonderful, and... You know, the article even talks about how some of the students showed up basically on the day before their SATs.
Right.
and stayed out late and basically probably knocked 50 points off their score by doing this, but...
Yeah, maybe.
You can always retake it. It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's a really, really beautiful thing, and they must have pulled this together super quick.
Right.
But yeah, I'm very impressed with this. This is the spirit of haunting. This is where we are at our best, when we are a community supporting our larger community.
Right.
So I just thought it was a beautiful story, and I'm glad to be able to share that one.
Yeah.
All right. We got a few more minutes left, so we'll wrap it up with this tale of a zombie nativity scene. Now, this is an article about CBS News, but apparently this is the final year, the swan song, if you will, for the zombie nativity scene outside Cincinnati. It's in Sycamore Township, for anyone who is so inclined. Long story short, the scene was put up by Jason Dixon. He's the owner of 13 Rooms of Doom, which is a haunted attraction. But that'd be a terrible name for an ice cream shop, definitely. But yes, he put it up initially as a publicity stunt four years ago, and it got a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of it wanted.
No.
The township initially tried to fine him or get him to take it down by doing some kind of code violation, because he built like a manger.
Right.
And they were trying to claim that was a structure, which, looking at the photos,
yeah,
we're defining structure pretty loose there, dudes.
Pretty sure that's why it didn't go
anywhere. But basically, he fought it enough to that the city just decided, bleh. And they eventually said it wasn't worth the resources to fight him. It's exactly how they put it.
Yeah.
It's not worth our time.
Yeah.
But yeah, no fines have been issued. And according to Dixon, the opinion has overall been positive. People have enjoyed it. At worst, they've laughed at it.
Yeah.
But he said some people do get kind of mad about it. But still, nonetheless, this is the final year. When he takes it down a little bit after Christmas, he will not be bringing it out in 2018. He does not say why, other than it just kind of felt like time.
Yeah. Sometimes it is time.
Yeah.
And I think we've reported on this before, actually.
I'm pretty sure we have. I probably should have looked that one up.
Yeah.
We've done a lot of these.
But we do know that the new news here is that it'll be the last year.
The last year. That's the main thing to report on.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, I mean, I'm not sure how much attention this really drums up for 13 Rooms of Doom.
Mm-mm.
Anyway. I mean, it's maybe a situation where even it's just more hassle than it's worth, basically.
Yeah.
But still, it's a neat idea, and looked like, I mean, I'm looking at the photos of it, I can see why if you are devoutly religious and you can be offended by it, but at the same time, it's not done super tongue-in-cheek either, you know what I mean? It's not done in a way that's meant to be offensive?
Yeah.
I don't know. But at the same time, it probably, given the way sensitivities are right now especially, mm-hmm. and that's one of the things we do talk about,
right,
is listening to the community that's outside of ours.
Yeah. Yeah, because you have to remember, they're eventually your customers.
Well, and I've always said, we are, as a community, very inclusive internally.
Yes.
We don't care gay, straight, bi, black, white, rich, poor, whatever. If you're one of the spooky kids, you're in the club.
Yeah.
We're very good about that. Mm-hmm. We've always been a very accepting place. But the issue is how we interact with the outside community.
Yeah.
We've never been particularly good at that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if maybe he's getting some feedback, because sensitivities do change. That is something that you have to be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And by and large, I think sensitivities changing is a good thing. I think sensitivities change because we are, as a larger community, talking about things that offend us or hurt us more. We're finding comfort in talking about things that maybe previously we didn't really want to discuss.
Yeah, well, and I think that that's good for society.
Yeah, I agree.
It's better to talk about the things that bother you. And to take them into consideration if you're on the receiving end of that.
Yeah. Now, like I said, I don't know if that's what's happened here with him.
Right.
He may have just decided for him personally it's time, and that's fine. That's perfectly acceptable.
Maybe he'll have a different thing that's not nativity next year.
Maybe.
That could be fun.
Maybe he'll be doing something different with it. But still,
he'll be Zombie Jesus Easter.
Yeah. Well, either way, Long story short, if you want to go see the zombie nativity scene, last chance. Yeah. Is what it comes down to. So, a lot of lessons this week for aunts.
Yes.
Make your chainsaw safe.
Yeah.
And use them well.
Make your actors safe.
Yes. There's just... That's the thing I think that I've learned doing these news episodes. Is every time I hear about something horribly going wrong at haunts, like, you know, Shakes the Clown here or whatever.
Right.
It usually involves at least two or three egregious breaches of haunt common sense.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems to be the thing.
I would agree with that.
It's like someone once said, you can't say what someone did was wrong, you know, that someone screwed up if you're not in their shoes. Like, you know, if you're not a parent, you know, you can't say someone else is a bad parent or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then I'm reminded of the comedian, I wish I could remember who said it, who said, yeah, but if I see a helicopter in a tree, I'm pretty sure the pilot messed up.
Yeah.
Helicopters don't live in trees.
They don't.
So it's a situation like that. Like, yeah, okay, I'm not a clown front of house. But I also know if you get a groping allegation against you, you probably messed up.
Yeah.
But stuff like that. And that, who was it that was talking about, I can't remember who said it now, talking about, you know, effing clowns, basically. About, in fact, he shared the chainsaw story on Haunter's Hangout.
I don't know.
Was it Brian? No, it wasn't Brian. Who, oh, come on, it's going to hit me in a minute.
I have no idea.
I did not have his name pulled up.
I'm sorry.
I'm very sorry.
I didn't know that you were looking for it.
I didn't know either. But yeah, long story short, it's really, really, yeah, it's always too late when you've said that. The frustration to it all, obviously, is that when people break haunt common sense rules, it's the industry that suffers. And with Brett Hayes.
Okay.
Who said it. Sorry, Brett, for not mentioning you when we talked about the story. But yeah, it was Brett Hayes who said it, and he actually had a whole laundry list of incidents involving clowns. I don't think it's clowns. I think it's people that forget their common sense when it comes to haunting and lose sight of the very basic safety rules that keep us, our customers, and our industry protected.
Yes, so I agree with that.
Don't screw up.
Yeah.
Stop faffing about and get it right.
Yeah.
Don't do the wrong thing. Do it right. But it's real advice there.
That's succinct.
Yes, it is. But anyways, we're going to wrap things up. It's a few minutes early, but you know what? We got a busy day tomorrow, and we've covered all the news that's fit to print. So
yeah, and since this is going live on December 25th...
Oh, yes.
Well, we know nobody's going to be listening to it, but we do want to wish you happy holidays.
Merry Christmas, happy holidays, blah, blah, blah. Yes. All that good stuff.
However you celebrate, even if it's just having a day off, it's nice.
Yes, enjoy the day no matter what.
Yeah.
Well, once again, to repeat, if you wish to give us a Christmas present, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Haunt Weekly. We're at hauntweekly.com and tinyurl.com/hauntweekly takes you to our YouTube channel. Subscribe there, click the notification bell, tell those little bots you love us so they'll suggest our videos to other haunty, spooky people. On that note, everyone, thank you very much for listening. Sorry for all the apologies. Wait. but until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was Haunt Weekly, episode number 108, doing the November-December news. We will see you guys, hopefully with a fully healed Crystal, next time.